Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
My welcome. I hope you had an absolutely wonderful week. I did, as we started putting up our Christmas decorations. And the new little kitty that decided to move in with us, we found her just before Thanksgiving. She was underneath one of our structures crying her eyes out. She's very cute, but she has also decided that not only will the dogs be ruled by her, but she is also the ruler of the Christmas tree. Well, folks, aren't pets wonderful? They certainly are. Folks, you're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. The last thing I read just before I said time to do the show was COVID is nothing more than a cold. And I have asked a very good friend and talk show host herself on the American Statesman on Blog Talk Radio, Sally Baptiste. Sally, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. Love having you on.
Thank you, Karen. I enjoy being here. And when we talk about COVID and education together, I think it's really two very important things. People need to be educated about COVID.
I could not agree more, especially after listening to what is going on, as you have just talked just before we got on the show. So share that information.
Yeah, it appears that China is now admitting that the Chinese doctors finally admit they can end COVID permanently. So this is going to be real interesting. I haven't even had a chance to get into this whole thing, but this just came over. And then, of course, there's some breaking news. A FOIA request exposes horrors of Pfizer vaccine deaths and more. And I tell you, anybody who's been looking at any of this stuff, you realize how messed up things really are. They are lying to us so much, and you cannot believe what the media is telling you. You cannot believe Fauci. It's just totally insane what they're doing. And people have to understand that it's up to us. It's the education part. First off, don't assume that they're telling you the truth, because they're not. Go out there and read some stuff. And then understanding that it's up to us to push back. We are the ones who truly control this unless we surrender our rights. People have to appreciate we have the power to shut down the COVID-19 Fauci insanity and massive control. You gotta understand this is all about control, a communist takeover, what they are doing, and just these are the bits and pieces of how they take over a culture. And putting people in fear, this Omicron or whatever this new one is, that they're out there saying, oh, we don't really know. And the rest of the world is saying it's like a cold, as, you know, the sniffles and a sore throat kind of thing, or a scratchy throat. And yet they've got everybody out there, you know, running once again, fearing for the life, or getting another booster vaccine. You got to get a booster because, I mean, the common cold doesn't even exist anymore because now it's COVID. Influenza doesn't exist anymore. That's COVID. Pneumonia doesn't exist anymore because that's COVID. I mean, it's insanity. We got to shut it down. We got to shut down the insanity. People have to take the time to learn on their own what's going on. Educate yourself and do not listen to the nonsense. Fauci, the guy is a criminal as far as I'm concerned. Reckless disregard for life. And if what he's doing isn't undermining this country to the tune of treason, like all the ones around him are going along with.
He's part of a group, I believe, of globalists. And if we listen to what the globalists say, and they say it over and over and over again, they have to reduce the size of the population on the planet. Now, they will tell us it's because we don't have enough food. That's a lie. Think about how much food we throw out. That's really criminal. And that's another story. which I will tell you shortly. But we cannot pay attention and listen to these people anymore when we know that their ulterior motive is the death of Americans, the death of the world. They want the population to be decreased. They say it over and over and over again. And I just listened to a video, which I would suggest that everyone listen to. It's on a website called fromrome.info, and it was prepared by Brother Bungalono, who said that when the flu season comes, that is when the chaos will begin, so prepare yourselves now. His father was a scientist. He is a priest. He said that what we are seeing today will amount to mass murder in the next 2 years, because the items that are in this vaccine, which nobody has tested, nobody has longevity on, nobody knows anything about, but the things that are in this vaccine will essentially agitate whatever it is that you have going on in your body right now and break down your immune system. So whatever that thing is, whether it's cancer, whether it's heart disease, whether no matter what it is, it doesn't matter. But whatever you have, that will be exponentially your immune system, and your body will not be able to fight off whatever it is that they would have normally fought off. He predicts that about 2 billion people worldwide will die. And he also said something very interesting that I think people might have forgotten, Sally, but I know that you and I did a lot of talking about this a long time ago when we discovered that FEMA was buying all of these body bags, and then they were shipping them by train to the Midwest. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder what those body bags were for.
So sick and so evil, and it's just so un-American. It's beyond me. And you know, there was something, you'd have to go back and watch an old video of what Fauci was saying when he was trying to come up with his cure, his vaccine for HIV years ago. You would think he was there today, except for he's got more hair. He was saying the same kind of stuff, you know. Well, we don't know. We'll have to try it. We'll see. I mean, it was the same mumble jumbo. But if he is what science is, we're all in trouble. We really are. If he truly is science, represents science, then we are all in trouble. Because this is the stuff this guy's been spewing for decades. The highest paid federal employee. And I mean, that by itself is pretty sick. But then again, Biden did say he was president, right?
It's true. And that's probably more correct than anything else, if you believe what's going on, because I don't think Biden has an original thought in his head. And I agree with you.
A bobblehead.
Yes.
Surely nothing than a bobblehead.
That's a good guess, a good description. He is a bobblehead. Let me just go and sign here wherever I'm supposed to sign. And I think that is our biggest problem, is that the truth is not being told. But now it's very interesting because as we have an Archbishop of Vigrano who called for the founding of an anti-globalist alliance. Imagine that. This Archbishop, who was the emissary that was the American emissary to the Vatican, came out, I think, on Friday. And if you have not caught it, it would be good to listen to what he was saying. And that you will find on CatholicFamilyNews.com, Archbishop Vigano, Vigano, calls for the founding of an anti-globalist a resistance, an alliance. And what he is saying is that we really need to come up with alternatives. We cannot work in a banking system that makes its corporations follow the ESG. Remember that? That's the emotional and social and governance ruling in order to get government contracts and government money. What happens to a corporation that doesn't want to go woke? Where are they going to get funding? Where are they going to get contracts? Where are they going to get people? I would think that would be a great thing to do with an America First. If these people, Sally, think about this. if the woke mentality is to eliminate the unvaxxed and all of the conservatives, that's a huge market that nobody is addressing.
Yes, it is. And the other thing, too, is we're going through talking about the COVID thing, all the other pieces, which goes into that social behavior, how they are modifying the whole culture, which is for the destruction of the country. I don't know why Soros hates the United States of America the way he does. He's an evil person. But let's face it, look what he did in the past and how he helped. He was born a Jew, as I understand it, and he went over to the other side and actually killed the Jewish people himself, changed his name and did whatever to aid Hitler. It's just, we live in the human culture, the human people have a very sick and evil streak in many of them. And we see this coming through right now. And what it is, why people want all this control, I don't get it. I really don't. If you don't like America, go someplace else. If you want to live like they're doing in Australia right now, is it Australia that's having all the lockdowns?
Go to Australia.
Insanity, what they're doing.
That's exactly right. If you don't like where you are, go someplace else. That's the whole idea of you have to be happy where you are. You don't have to change it. That's another thing that we're finding out when they do these polls. The majority of Americans are still center-right. They don't believe in abortion up until the last minute. They don't believe that a baby can be aborted the day before it's born or in New York the day after it's born. They don't believe that. Americans don't believe that. Americans are a very generous and moral group of people. And I believe the day that we took prayer and the pledge and God out of school, we also threw morality out the window. And when you throw morality out the window, just as Sally just said, what's left is evil. There's no place else to go. And this is what they are doing to we the people. Calling for a foundation of an anti-globalist alliance would really be exactly what we would be looking for. We're not going to be able to stop this coup by ourselves individually. We have to work together. And we have to work together through resistance. And resistance is nothing new. This has been going on for years and years and years. Everybody doesn't always agree. But I thought, wouldn't it be great, Sally, if we took America and said, okay, you idiots, keep your blue states, we'll keep our red states, and you go knock yourself out and live the way you want and leave us alone. I think that might be a good idea.
Well, and there are those who truly believe there could be a dividing of the United States. There's going to be the true freedom people who believe in a free society, which is going to be the vast majority of the current United States. And then the other ones, you know, California, New York, you guys want to go out there and do your own thing, but don't expect us to bail you out. That's going to be the whole thing. They're going to go fall flat on their face, and they're going to expect us to take care of them. Or they're going to all of a sudden think that, well, wait a minute, look what New York's doing. I'm going to move to Florida. Well, wait a minute, you know, you're not bringing New York to Florida. Don't even think about doing that. Because, you know, it's like, well, I can't live here anymore. Well, I'm going to go destroy something else. No, stay. If that's what you want, you go stay and you go clean up your own mess.
Exactly. You made the mess, you live with it. We don't want it here. We're not interested. I think that's about the only thing that we can do. And we have to continually tell them. It's very interesting when you look at the political atmosphere. It seems as though like 40% of the people are diehard Democrats. They'll vote Democrat no matter who is in office or who is running. And then maybe 40% of the Republicans, the 40% of the people will vote Republican no matter what. But it's the 20% of the independents, I believe, that are really the face of the nation. And they're the ones that are not afraid to say, wait a minute, I don't believe that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand up and say no. And that's what the opposition is so afraid of. They cannot handle the fact of people coming together. What are they going to do about it? They're going to create another crisis using COVID. I think it's a manufactured crisis. What do you think, Sally?
Well, it definitely is manufactured in every way. How many billions we have paid, how much money the pharmaceuticals and how they're trying right now, China is holding us hostage in so many ways, and this, again, is where people need to be educated, educate yourself on this stuff, because now the pharmaceutical, so many of our prescription drugs, pharmaceuticals, were coming from China to begin with, so, and that's everything. Forget the COVID stuff. This was everything else. So the pharmacists are complaining right now that they're getting low on the regular supplies, and China's controlling so much of this economy because we've allowed them to take over our country. And now we've got all this other supply chain stuff. That's all this other mess that's going on. It's insane what is happening, and it was definitely, it was all planned. And you got the likes of people like Fauci again, some kind of weird, sick narcissist. I don't know whether he truly hates America or he loves himself so much that he can't see America, because he does definitely love himself, and he thinks he's the most important, and he thinks he's the Saint Fauci and whatever else, and all totally disgusting, and how much he was a part of this. But the other thing, you said something about those good old Republicans out there. I'm telling you something. I was raised a Democrat. My mother would have never believed in this garbage. That wasn't the kind of Democrat. She thought the Democrats were supposed to help the working class, which anybody that sees what's happening here, is this helping the working class? I don't think so. Then I did go to a Republican party for a few years, for a couple of years, not really in a few, a couple of years, and I saw how corrupt the Republican Party of Florida was. It was back then. I doubt it's changed, but whatever. And I said, you know, I can't be part of it. I'm going to go back to good old George Washington, who warned us that the parties will divide us. And that's the other part of all this, this division. What is causing a division? United we stand, divided we fall. How these different elements are all tearing us apart from each other. And, you know, people better really vet these Republicans. Because, you know, the likes of the McConnells out there and the Mitt Romneys, these people are the problem. They are the rhinos. They're Democrats, and they just ran as Republicans. And, we, you know, if the Republicans don't change, in fact, you know, everybody right now is seeing that they think the Republicans are going to take over the House, maybe the Senate, too, in 2022, and that's all fine and dandy. But you know what? I'm telling you, if they don't immediately, if they take over the House and they don't go and make Donald Trump the Speaker of the House, right there, I'm going to challenge what they're doing. McCarthy is useless, but they really should have Donald Trump as the speaker, and then Donald Trump should go ahead and get the articles of impeachment for a president and a vice president, for starters, because it's most valid. What these people have done is treason, promoting an invasion of this country, and of course the ongoing COVID thing, it's treason. But you know, if these Republicans don't do this, then it's over. We have got to do something, and I know there's others out there wanting to replace this Republican Party. Of course, I've wanted to replace it for a long time, but and it's such a mess because of the way the two-party system has rigged the elections in their own way, and of course, we need plenty of people out there watching the polls, but I'm just saying, 2022, if these Republicans continue on just like they're doing now with these stupid bills, look what they're doing now.
Exactly.
We have to depend on a couple of Democrats to save this nation, and so that they don't go in and promote a bill that has nothing but communist takeover in it. It's nothing to do with finances. It's all to do with welfare and for the state to take over, the federal government to take over raising your kids and stuff like that. I mean, this is sick stuff. It really is. And what are these Republicans? How much are you hearing them say anything about it? You hear a couple here and there, but not many. You know, the current Republican Party isn't a whole lot better. I won't say it's as bad, but it ain't a whole lot better. And they better change in 2022, I'm telling you, or there will be some kind of,
you know,
major civil disobedience or revolution here.
I think a good vetting question would be the first question that you ask your prospective candidate. Would you impeach Biden and Harris, and would you vote for Trump as Speaker of the House? Most people don't realize that it is not in the Constitution. The Constitution very clearly does not say that you have to be a representative in order to be a Speaker of the House. So electing a Speaker of the House is open to anyone. And Matt Gaetz, at one of his last podcasts, said that his first act as a representative in 2022 would be to nominate President Trump to become the Speaker of the House. And what a wonderful thing that would be if only if we have enough people, as Sally just said, that are truly Americans and belong and believe in the MAGA movement. And the MAGA movement is not Donald Trump. Let's get that straight. Donald Trump started it, but the MAGA movement is all of us. Do you want America to be first? Do you want America to be that shining city on a hill? Do you want America to be the one that leads the way of innovation and creation and wonderful things that have to come back for us to succeed and do phenomenal things for humankind, for human good, not for the, quote, common good of whereby we give up everything so that other people that do nothing can take advantage of it? That's not America. Sally, you're so correct with President Washington's farewell address. Can you remind everybody a little bit about what was in there?
Oh, I'm telling you, if you would read Washington's farewell address today, you would think he was here saying, I told you so. I told you so. He goes through so many things. Religion. We must be a people of value. If we don't have those moral values, we're not going to survive. We have to have those. And here we have a crazy White House press secretary who goes and says that people robbing these stores, this, what do they call it, smash and grab, where they coordinate an attack on a store, basically, and that's all because of COVID. I mean, this is the insanity of what's out there, the evilness. But we have to be a religious people. We have to believe in something greater than ourselves, or this is what you end up having. And then he talks about credit. Credit must be used sparingly and should only be used for times like war and those types of things. You shouldn't be out there and increasing the debt because you want to go out there and provide schooling, the preschooling and all the other stuff, child care stuff for people and all this kind of stuff. He goes and he talks a lot about the parties. And the piece, what he says, it's not strictly the parties. He says associations, factions, and political parties, which, of course, political parties are associations / factions. The associations and factions will take over the people. They will how does he, the actual wording is, the will of the people for the will of a party, the will of the people for a will of some unprincipled individuals. Unprincipled individuals will take over the reign of government and destroy the just domain that gave them that power. So, I mean, it just totally flips. But it's all the associations, factions, and political parties. And you just think about that today and what's happening out there. Look at the various associations out there that are out there. And this includes PACs, political action committees, these different associations, and then, of course, the political parties. And then you have these various groups or Organization for Women and things like that. Their whole intent is to split people up. That's really what it is, to condemn some other groups and destroy. Goes back to that most basic, united we stand, divided we fall. How many ways can you divide a community and how many ways you get people to spy on each other and report each other? It's disgusting. But Washington has got that in there. Moral values, adjust people. The finance, credit, you cannot do that. And then the political parties, you can't. I mean, there's just so much in there. You would think he was here today saying, I told you so. I mean, he could be here today saying, I told you this was going to happen. You can't let these organizations take over. They will usurp the will of the people for a will of the party. They will gain excessive power. These groups will come together and create unprincipled power for the gain of a few at the cost of many type things. And it's so true. That's exactly where we are. And I guess one other thing that you and I, Karen, have said so many times to people on the different shows, and we talk in general, there is nothing new happening here. That is exactly what Washington said. This is what happens if you don't pay attention. He said, beware of those pretending to be patriots. And how many times we've seen that? There is truly nothing new. This is history repeating itself to the max, only with a different type of technology, if you will, for how it's happening.
You're absolutely right. And unfortunately, we are coming to the close of our segment. Ms. Sally, would you tell everybody where they can find you so that we can continue this wonderful conversation?
Well, I would please ask you to go to Blog Talk Radio. American Statesman is the show. We're going to have a show later on actually Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be having a show, and we're going to have a long discussion about solar farms and lithium batteries and cars. So let's talk about pollution, okay? We're going to have a discussion on that, so tune in to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. If you can't listen to it live, you can definitely play it, share it with others. We need to stop the insanity of the $80,000 electric car that's hazardous to your health and hazardous to the environment, and, of course, the solar farms that are taking away our food. So please tune in to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, and don't touch that screen. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutloud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Please go to the Alliance website, see what it is, what we are up to. We are writing legislation to protect parents. We did pass the Parents' Bill of Rights. I thought it was a great thing to do that, but it was also so sad that we have to tell parents that they have rights and that those rights are guaranteed. They should know that. That is in the Constitution already. Unfortunately, too many people have no idea what is in the Constitution because they haven't even read it. How can you run for office if you haven't read the Constitution? How can you run for office if you don't even know what's going on? And for that reason, I have asked a very good friend, Cindy Lucas, to join me today and talk to all of us about what she is doing with her group, because this is what we need to be doing. How do we know who these candidates are? How do we know what they are about? So, Cindy, you have done an amazing job with your group. I tell everybody all the time what you're doing because I think it's wonderful, and now you are here. So can you share what you have come up with, especially on the vetting side?
Okay, so back when the Tea Party got started, I guess that's 12 years ago, you know, 12 years ago. We decided that the best thing that we could do first was to get on the REC, the local Republican Executive Committee, and we did. But we couldn't get anywhere when it came to the candidates because the REC in Martin County would ask, you know, they had a candidate relations board before the primary. A candidate would come in, they pay $100, and then that would allow them to go to, like, different events and have a table there. And then they would sit down and ask the candidates questions. The questions were very generic, nothing Are you for lower taxes? You know, all those kind of questions. Very short, and nothing really came of it, and they never endorsed in a primary. So after being frustrated, we all decided that we were going to vet the candidates ourselves. So we went ahead, and the Tea Party, the Martin 912 Tea Party, created a board, and we had questions, and we had an introduction that we read to the candidate, and then we came up with yes and no questions that he would sign this piece of paper, and then we would sit with the candidate. There was no time frame. It could be an hour, could be 2 hours, could be 3 hours, and we would go around the room, and everybody would have questions for the candidate. Now, before that, if the candidate was somebody that was already an elected official, like I'll give you an example. If we were running, well, let's just talk about Senate candidates. We had Connie Mack, who was running for the Senate. He was a representative in the Naples area. I'm trying to think. Alan West, different people, all the way down to the school board. But like with Connie Mack, we would look at his legislative record, his donors, all of that before he came in. So we would have the information. And it wasn't like we were going to go and get him or, you know, get angry or get into somebody's face. We would ask questions. We would ask him why, and he would give answers. Now, let's talk about Connie Mack. Connie Mack was asked questions like this. Why did you take money from the Crossroads PAC, which was Karl Rove? Why did you take money from Jeb Bush? And he said, well, I take money from everyone. And we said, well, that's, you know, they support Agenda 21, sustainable development, smart growth, you know, all of that above. And he said, well, that doesn't mean I'm going to vote for that. So at the end of that, I think there were seven candidates that were running that year in for the Senate. And I think we ended up endorsing Connie Mack, and I'll tell you why. Because this man got off a bus, came to Martin County, and on that bus was Rudy Giuliani. Now, Rudy Giuliani, we didn't know really what he was, but we had all the people there with signs because we were trying to get rid of Agenda 21. And Connie Mack came up. He took a picture with this big sign. He spoke about getting rid of this in every government agency and how he wanted to get rid of the UN. Unfortunately, he didn't win the primary, and he is no longer a representative. And but that tells you that you can find out a lot about candidates, and sometimes you think that they're doing bad things, but on the other hand, he was right. Yeah, I'm going to take money from everyone because money makes, you know, that's how I'm going to win the election, but it doesn't mean I'm going to vote that way. So there's a good example. So now, that was then, this is now. We did that in two election cycles back then. We now are doing this again. And the way it's being done now is a little differently. We still, now we ask the candidate to come in. We still do our homework. But we have a bigger, we don't have like a board, like seven people who sat on the board. We now have, we opened it up for people who belong to our Tea Party. They have to RSVP. If you had vetted, if you were at one of the vetting sessions, it's done on a Saturday in a private room at a pizza place. We're there probably 4 hours, sometimes 4.5 hours. We like to get the same people all the time that have been there and have vetted before. And it's really, really productive because you can find out a lot about a candidate. I'll give you a for instance. We have a candidate who's running for school board. I mean, not for school board, excuse me, for county commission. This candidate was the pick for the local chamber of commerce. So when we were going around the room after he had completed the application, yes and no questions, so forth and so on, he signed the document. He then began to tell us that he was, we already knew that he was pro-growth. But then he started to talk about, well, he would like to make our local town in the city of Stewart more like Delray Beach, and, you know, we're going to get the train here, and we're going to build stack and pack buildings, and the young people, can live here, but they can get on the train and then they can go down south and so forth and so on. So he was, it was very revealing. And when he left, everybody in that room, and there must have been about 14 people around that table that day, not one of us would have voted for him. So that's one of the ways that we're doing it. So at the end of this project, after we vet every single candidate, we ask everybody to come in. We've asked Representative Brian Mass. So far, he has not come in to talk to us. There is a candidate running against him. She has come in. She is more, I think, on our way of thinking. But the problem is that with somebody like Brian Mass, she really doesn't have any money, so it's going to be a hard thing to beat him. But he's still avoiding us, but we're still putting pressure on him. But probably at the end of this, when we decide that we're done with vetting, somewhere around March, we then plan to come up with a voter guide that will be used either to send to the absentee ballot people who are up north before their absentee ballot hits their mailbox, or we're going to call the voters who do not vote in the primary, the Republican voters who do not vote in the primary. People that vote in the primary and the general election voters are called super voters. They vote in both elections. So we have asked ex-Representative Dave Bratt, who ran in Virginia. He ran against Eric Cantor, who was the whip when John Boehner was the chairman of the party, or the chair of the House of Representatives. And he had $6 million, and Dave Bratt ran against him with $500,000, and he called all of the people that did not vote in primaries. They put a
Cindy, that's
call.
Very, very important, and I'd like you to repeat that again, because I don't think people understand the difference of voting just in a general election or how important the primaries really are. And now you're saying we can get a list of those people that did not vote in the primaries and go after them. Why is that so important?
Because those people sometimes are not aware of the primaries. Or maybe they don't think it's important. Maybe, and where are they getting their news? You know, I mean, we don't have newspapers anymore. You know, we have, in the old days, you would have a newspaper, and then there would be ads put in for people who were running in a primary, okay? So now where are they? Now maybe they're on Facebook. Not everybody's on Facebook, okay? I don't know where they're going to get that information. I mean, the party's not going to do anything. The party doesn't do any mailers anymore. It's up to the candidates now to do the mailers. And if you're running in a primary and you'll have a limited budget, you're not going to go out and spend money and try to get every single voter. You're just not going to do it. Maybe you'll put a phone bank together, but it may not happen. So the super voter will always vote. And the way that Dan Schultz told me about the precinct project, and he's been in politics and he's worked with a lot of the big people, he said, this is how Dave Bratt ran. And so I called Dave Bratt, and he told me that's exactly what he did. And I think this is important. So forget going after the absentee ballot people. And let me just talk about that for a minute. I'll use our county commissioner. We have a county commissioner here, Sarah Hurd. She's been on here for 22 years. We would like to remove her. Okay, so we have a candidate. How does the people know about this candidate? They're up in Massachusetts, okay? So they get the ballot in the mail, and they go, oh, I know Sarah Hurd. She's a Republican. I'll vote for her. Because most people, when they're voting, if they're Republicans, they vote straight ticket all the way down, all Republicans down the ticket, right? And the name recognition. So they look at the name, and they go, oh, she's been around a long time. I don't know this other person. I'm voting for her. That's why we thought it was important to go after the absentee ballot people. But now that Dan has told me that, I happen to agree with him more. So what I would do is, in your county, is to look and see how many what the numbers are. How many people voted in the primary, Republicans voted in the primary. That's the super voters. Then I would ask for a list of the people that voted in the general but did not vote in the primary. Okay? And look at those numbers and say, and then you could make a decision on what you should do. But I believe, and I think Dan is right, that the people to go after are the people that did not, that do not vote in the primary. And that's
what
we're going to do.
Therefore, if you are going to help a candidate, then what you have to do in that help is go through the list of people who have not voted in the primary in that candidate's district and contact those people.
Yes.
Those are the ones that you want to get motivated to for your new candidate, for the new candidate. Because the only way that these people are going to know about a new candidate is if we tell them. They are not going to have big bucks to go advertise. They're not going to have a lot of things that are necessary to win, but they have people power, and that's really the greatest power. Cindy,
well,
I'd like to thank you so much for joining
me
today.
Welcome.
And I'd like to know if you'd come back and keep on giving us updates of what you're doing, because you have done
Absolutely.
An amazing thing, which I thought was incredible. And that was to get your people used to calling legislators. Cindy, at her meeting, had everyone take out their phone. She gave them the names and the numbers of their legislator and had their people call the legislator right there from the meeting at that moment so that they get used to the fact that, yes, they can contact their legislator. And that is what is so important. We have to be on top of these people because nobody else will. Thank you, Cindy, for joining me.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, we just spent a bunch of time listening to Cindy Lucas with regard to her Martin 912, and that is Martin County, Florida, and what she has been doing with her group, which is really amazing. One of the problems that I have been having as we talk with all of the leaders is getting the people to understand that they are part of this team. You guys, everybody out there, you are part of the team. If we don't work together, then this country and all of the things that we have been fighting for will be lost, and it will take a very long time for it to come back again, and we don't want that to happen. And what we are seeing right now are the ramifications of the policies that these globalist communists have put in place. And that's what we, the people, have to stop. I just got an email from a parent who said that her 9-year-old son came home and he said that his friend, who was his friend for a long time, has now called him a racist because he's white and his friend is black. And he said, this is what they're learning in school. What can he do about it? Well, this is why we, the people, have to take hold of our education. And Pastor Rick, I know that you traveled in the last couple of weeks, and I was wondering, when you were traveling across country, you met with other people. Did you feel that their concern is similar to ours, or are we being misled by poll numbers that say that we're losing? Because I think that there's more people in America that really want America to be the top dog, to be the winner, to be the shining city on the hill. What have you experienced when you met with other people other than in Florida?
Well, I think it's consistently true across the country in many places. Now, you may not find it true in some of the liberal strongholds, but I think people are exactly what you're describing. They want the country to be free. They want the country to take its rightful place of leadership in the world, because what we do when we lead is we lead to set people free, to lead them to the same kind of liberty we've experienced for a long time. And I agree completely. There are far more Americans, far more people in this country that want to preserve the gift we've been given than want to give it up. Now, that's not to say that's 100%. I don't think it's 100%, but I'm convinced it's a strong majority of people, because everywhere you turn, that's what you see in all kinds of ways. I heard a pastor talking recently about a podcast, or he calls it a telephone call, I guess, that they do. Sometimes they turn it into a podcast. And he said people are saying to him, what you do is a lifeline for us, because we hear the truth and we need to know what's going on. And I think it's true. I think the other side of it that worries me a little more is the people that are just not aware, that for whatever reason, they haven't registered what's going on. But I suspect that those people, once they become aware of what's going on, will understand the problem. And they too will say with you that our country needs to be the United States, and we need to fulfill our role in the world, not one of pressure on other countries, but one of pressure on tyranny that gives people an opportunity to be free, make the choices about their lives, and go forward. I don't think that's very much in doubt. I think the, how would you say it? The people that disagree, that want to hold the levers of media power or social media stuff, they want to communicate what they want to communicate. But I just don't believe that the American people are prepared to give up their liberty just because some people say they are. Just don't believe it.
I agree with you, because everyone that I talk to, regardless of where they are, regardless of who they have voted for, regardless of what has happened in the past, they are looking at their present and they are looking at their future. And they do not want a repeat of what we have been seeing going on. And that's why one of the things that is so important that we did in Florida, and Pastor Rick was very, 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 very involved in getting the Parents' Bill of Rights passed. And Pastor, I'd like you to talk about that, because we have listeners in other states, and most of the other states, they have ignored the parents. And that, to me, is the biggest problem. A child only learns when they are with people who teach. And that's the role of the parents, is to educate the child, to give them experiences so that when they go out in their lives, they'll be able to make informed decisions. And what we are finding is that schools are not doing that. And therefore, that is the parents' role. So can you describe a little bit about the Parents' Bill of Rights and why it's so important that each state have one of these?
Well, I think it's important for the very reason you mentioned, that parents have been ignored. And the Parents' Bill of Rights in Florida did something very simple, very understandable. It simply put into law in one place both what the law in Florida has always said, and I think this is equally important, and what people have always believed, that parents have the responsibility to raise and shape their children, as it relates to education, as it relates to all kinds of decisions that parents make. And the Florida law simply was an effort to recognize that. Now, here's the problem that people sometimes miss, and they wonder, well, why do you have to have a law? And I'm not one of those people that says we need to make a law for everything that pops up. We need to be careful about the laws we make sure they're good, because just another law doesn't solve a problem. The underlying issue, it seems to me, in Florida, I suspect it's true everywhere for the reasons you mentioned, because parents are being ignored, is that for whatever reason, let's just talk about school districts, and it's true of other government entities, but school districts simply have for a long time now assumed they know best about educating the children and how to handle the problems children have. They have not embraced or preserved their role as a partner with the parents, where they can provide the reading and writing and arithmetic and get the parents involved in helping support that and let the parents deal with everything else. They have very real sense by stepping into these areas where they shouldn't have, they've overstepped their boundaries and pushed parents aside. The good thing about the law in Florida is that while most all of us think, why is this necessary? And isn't this obvious? What it is doing, it's drawing attention to this problem. And in some respects in Florida, it's getting school districts to pay attention, wanting to paint a picture that the Parents' Bill of Rights solved every problem, but at least it's causing the school districts to think. Now, we just recently had a meeting with a school district in Florida, and we were talking about the gender identity problems where a kid will come in and express confusion over that, shall we say, and how does the school handle that? The school's first response to the child is not, okay, we hear you, we're going to call your parents and we're going to figure this out. They don't say that. They acknowledge that this is a serious mental health issue. They acknowledge we've got to help the children when they come up with this confusion stuff. And so I said in this meeting, I said, you're acknowledging this is a serious issue by your own definition and expression of mental health. So if it's so serious and so important for us to help the students, why isn't it critical? And why isn't the first step to call the parents and to let the parents know your student is struggling with this? Well, they didn't really have an answer for that. But the answer, of course, is obvious. We must involve the parents. And if the Parents' Bill of Rights is necessary to reorient that thinking, then we need to pass it in every state. And we in Florida need to press on that all the time to get school districts and other government entities to recognize the role of the parents and not push parents away.
Absolutely. That is the problem, folks. As a former teacher, I can tell you, I loved my students. I loved them for the 9 months out of the year that I was with them. When they left my classroom and went to the next grade, I still love them, but I didn't interact with them. My interaction with them was over. A parent is with you for life. And that's what we have to focus on, that relationship. I'm finding that too many school districts have eliminated the PTOs or the PTAs, Parent Teachers Association, Parent Teachers Organization. I remember we used to go to Parent Teachers Association meetings and we would have an opportunity to interact with the parents. And that was the best. Because if a parent understood what you were doing, what the issue was in school, it made it easier for you as a teacher to be able to get that child to be motivated because you know you have the support of the dominant adult that influences that child. The teacher is not the dominant adult. The parent is. And I find what's going on in school today is mostly, as Pastor said, because parents have been set aside, and we have to stop that. That is the most important relationship that a child has, is that with their parent. And if a child is not with their parent and they happen to be in the system and they're with foster parents, whoever they are with, whoever they go home to, has a greater influence on that child than the teacher. And we have to stop allowing the teacher to take the dominant role. Pastor Rick, we are coming to the close of the show for this week. Can you close us off with a prayer? We certainly can use one. America needs to go back to God. America needs to do an about face and get out of that Gaia worship, worshiping of the earth. The earth is not God. The earth is ground. It is still the earth. Pastor,
you're exactly right. I'll be glad to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that all of the things that concern us concern you, and you hear from heaven our concerns and you respond to help us, and we give you thanks. In these days, we particularly need your help because we see so many of the values we've depended upon, so many of the institutions we've trusted collapsing and turning away, and we've seen right become wrong and wrong become right. And it's leading to a world full of confusion and chaos. And you came at Christmas to remind us that there would be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we pray that you would bring about that peace and that we in our time would turn to you and recognize you came to deliver us from all of these problems if we will just trust in you and follow what you've said is right, true, and good. So move across our country, particularly stir the hearts of all the good people who may not be aware of what's going on or may not be convinced that it's a problem. Stir their hearts that they will rise up and affirm that which is right, true, and good, so that we as a nation can turn back in the right direction and be one nation under God again. For all of that, we'll give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we are at the close of the show. I just had another announcement that I wanted to give you. Charlotte Iserby, God bless this woman, who was the senior policy analyst for Ronald Reagan and in charge of getting rid of the Department of Education, which as soon as she found out what they were doing was fired, did a website, and the website is called Deliberate Dumbing Down. On that website, she has a 8-DVD set of Education in America for the last probably 150 years. So if you want to see what's going on, you need to get that information. You can see a trailer on her website, and it is incredible. She goes through the beginning of education and what this is all about. Yes, it is long, but this has been going on for over 150 years, so we have to make sure that we understand what we are up against. You can't fight the enemy if you don't know who the enemy is. You have been listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, and we are brought to you live on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Use the Alliance website in your state. Thank you all for listening. See you again next week.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me.